One of the ones that really caught me as someone who has recently become self-employed, only liars say they love their jobs. So tell me more.
Yeah, so this is a chapter that is really designed to make you think through what you want to be doing with your life. Now, I will say this, that most millionaires in the US are employees or professionals. Like, this was a shocking fact. I was like, what? 7 out of 10? Yeah, so there's nothing wrong with that. And by the way, I'm an entrepreneur, but I'm also a professor. So I get a paycheck from that one line of income. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. But what we suggest to people that what they really want is freedom. So they want financial freedom. And so the idea that you love your job, first of all, I hope you like it. If you have no other choice, it's a much better way to go through life. But we just sort of challenge the notion. We use an example of, let's say that you love dogs and your job is to pet puppies, you know, so that's your job. It's like, what could be better than just petting puppies all day long? What, how incredible? Well, there's probably going to come a day where you'd rather not go into work, or you got a new job or a new boss who's a jerk, or next thing you know, they want you to, like, you know, you're the new pooper scooper. That's not quite as fun as petting puppies. And so it's just the concept around how much, like, for us, what is rich? What's the definition of true wealth? And for us, it's time freedom. It's owning your time. Like, to me, that's the goal. It's not buying fancy stuff. It's owning your time. And so that's sort of the frame that we're trying to introduce. And it's not like you have to quit your job to be happy. We don't think that. But also just being honest with yourself about it. Because we think that it's better for you to own your time than to have your boss own your time.
And because it's tricky, right? Because what you earn is often the first step in investing into yourself, into your money story. Because everything else will flow from that. How much you can save, how much you can invest, all the rest of it, you have to have money coming in at first, right? But there was for a long time this narrative of love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. I personally just don't agree with that. I feel like any job will have aspects of it. Even if you do get to pet puppies 90% of the time, like you say, you'll be scooping poop and maybe the dog gets fleas, or, you know, there's always something. Even now, when I love my job, do I love filing taxes? No. You know, it's just, do you think that this narrative of you should love your job and it means you're not working, is that been damaging to people? Has that set up a false expectation?
I think it does, because I think that ultimately, often we're somewhat dissatisfied with our lives. As a matter of fact, I think most people are. And it's an interesting concept, because it's actually really helped us out as a species. Like, we have indoor plumbing, you know, and it's because somebody wasn't satisfied, you know, with outdoor plumbing. You know, we have cars because someone wasn't satisfied with horses, riding horses. I mean, I think this is a part of the human experience that is both a blessing and a curse. But one of the curses is thinking that, oh, this next thing is going to make us happy and bring us joy and bring us satisfaction. It's the hedonic treadmill is what we call it in psychology. So I think part of the damage is that, you know, if I get the right job, if I, you know, become an entrepreneur, then I'll be happy. And we talk in the book, too, that there are multiple ways to becoming wealthy. And wealth, as I mentioned, is owning your time versus owning stuff. And being an employee is one of them. A job is one of them. But ultimately, looking at what is it that is ultimately going to make me happy? And from our point of view, it's financial freedom, where you can do what you want, when you want, how you want. By the way, and that could be going to your job. There's nothing wrong with that. But knowing that you don't have to, knowing that you'd be okay if knowing that if you get fired by your boss, you know, that 3 months from now, you're not going to be homeless. So I think it's understanding that and putting plans into place so that whether you are an employee, whether you are an entrepreneur, whatever it is you're doing, that you are along the path to financial freedom.
It takes some of the stress and the pressure off it, doesn't it? When you have that, you've basically created a financial safety net for yourself, that if things go really wrong, you can walk away. But I also feel like the ability to walk away from bad situations makes it less likely for you to need to. When people know that you can leave, they treat you differently, don't they? I think
they really do, because you put out a different vibe. you know, there's nothing worse than desperation to like chase away people. Like this is a common experience when people are dating, you know, it's like you're single and you know, nobody likes you. And then all of a sudden you're dating somebody and, oh, everybody likes you. And now there's all these options. I think there's sort of an internal state that people have. And I feel like it shifts everything when you're feeling like you're there by choice, whatever it is.
You mentioned the hedonic treadmill before, and that is it's a theory that I'm a big fan of. It clarified a lot of things to me. We've actually not talked about it on this podcast before. So I would love for you to give us a quick run through of what is the hedonic treadmill? What is that theory? And how should it change how we look at our money, do you think?
Yeah, in essence, it is the concept that you're never actually going to be satisfied by external things. So, and real specifically with money too, it's like when you ask people who make $50,000 a year, what would it take to be happy? They say 100. And when you ask people who make 100, they say like 200 and blah, 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 just continues to go. And it's a really important concept to understand because otherwise you're going to become a victim to it, especially if you're more materialistic. So once I get this next thing, this next shiny object, then I'm going to be happy. So it's like, when then? So when this happens, then I'm going to have this emotional experience that I want to have. And it's just really important to understand that this is how you're wired as a human being, and you're going to be tempted to do it, especially when you see things that are shiny and that other people might have. And if you don't recognize that that's where you're wired, you're going to probably be in a financial struggle your entire life because you're always going to be spending your money in ways that you think are going to make you happier, but don't.
Yeah, basically we normalize, right? Whatever we've got, you know, at some point you might, let's just take a really silly example for my fellow girlies, you know, you might always do your nails yourself and then you get a pay rise and you can start getting your nails done professionally. And for a while, that's going to be really exciting. You're going to be like, yeah, I always have pretty hands. 6 months to a year down the track, that's just going to be your normal. That's just going to be something that you always have, and you're not even going to find it exciting and fun and nice anymore. You're going to be wanting to have a new outfit every month instead, and that's going to be the thing that's holding you back. But you still want the nails because that's now your normal. It's really hard, right? Isn't it? It's like what you said before about this automatic dissatisfaction has pushed humanity forward for so long, but it can absolutely sabotage our money if we don't understand that that's how we're wired, right?
I think so. And for me, it's being conscious of it. So I'm sitting here talking about it. You know, I'm just as vulnerable to this mindset as anyone else. It happens to me all the time. I'm just aware of it. And I kind of chuckle, you know, and I set goals for myself because I know that that's what I want because it motivates me and it excites me. But I also know through experience and, you know, through the, it's almost the curse of achieving goals too is sort of an ironic thing. And I've worked with a lot of entertainers and people who've entered, you know, big sports contracts or whatever. They sold their business for $25 million and they finally achieved it. And then 6 months later, they're depressed. And from all external points of view, it's like, are you crazy? You have it all. You have it all. And it's like, well, that's human nature. And so there's almost some benefit to never achieving it psychologically, because then you don't have to sit with the fact that there's nothing there. You know, and so that's a bit of the challenge and the curse of achieving goals. And everyone's like, yeah, please, you know, give me the curse of goal attainments. And I get what you're saying. But I think it really helps to just understand that for two reasons. Number one, you won't be disappointed and lost later on, but this is even more important. Please, please enjoy the process, because that's all we really have. And I'm going to tell you right now, you achieve the goal, you're going to be stoked for about 6 months, and then you're going to go right back to your sort of happiness set point. And, you know, outside of poverty, by the way, like, I mean, no, trust me, you're going to be way happier in a safer neighborhood, having food and clothes and all that. Don't get me wrong. You know, our first chapter is being poor sucks, and it really does. But, you know, once you hit a certain relative amount, there's really not that huge of an increase along the way. So try to enjoy the process. So that's one of the things we talk about too. We have a chapter called Retirement is for Dead People, and it's along this same sort of concept that, you know, a lot of people get depressed once they lose a sense of meaning and purpose in their life. So don't think that's going to change it for you. Again, future goals, very important. We do believe you can enhance your life, and we absolutely think you should, and it'd be great for you. But also enjoy the ride, because that's really all there is at the end of the day.
I love that you brought that up, because that's exactly what I was just going to jump into, because I thought that was such an interesting one to have this juxtaposition of only liars love their jobs, but also retirement is for dead people. And I would love to know, is this the correct reading of it, where it seems like it's coming from a position of, let's try and find you work that you can somewhat enjoy, or at least not hate, and you're going there on your terms, but you still do need a project, some goals, some meaning, and that work can be a way of finding it. And it's like what you're saying about enjoy the process, right? Where you can look out and seek out more meaningful projects, more meaningful work, if you have the financial backing to give you more stability, to give you more breathing space. Is that sort of the reading of where you're coming from?
Yeah, and thanks for mentioning that. So our book just came out, and we're getting a bunch of 5-star reviews on Amazon and a bunch of 1-star reviews. It's wild. I had a feeling that was going to happen too.
Polarizing.
Exactly. And one of the criticisms is like, hey, on the one hand, you say only liars love their job. And on the other hand, you're saying retirement's for dead people. And it's like we struggle to hold these competing concepts in our brain. You know, it causes us anxiety, and then we just want to pick one. When reality is they're both true. And so retirement, and for retirement, I just looked up the definition of the word retirement. It means to stop working. And what is the definition of work? Well, that's physical or mental effort that you put forth to achieve a purpose or a result. And our suggestion here is that once you give up putting forth effort for a purpose or result, it's not good for you. And actually, you're going to have a terrible experience. And this happens, by the way, it happens so often with so many people and that I've consulted with over the years. So just trust me, it's going to happen. You know, you need to have a purpose. You need to have a passion. You need to get up with something that is firing you to move forward and to achieve something. And by the way, they've done studies too where, grandparents who are responsible for helping raise the children. And by the way, responsible. Okay. So you might think, oh God, I don't want to do that. It's like, well, they need to do it at some level. They're feeling like they need to do this. They live longer. And another thing that psychologists have studied is how we feel during our free time and on vacation. And nobody is going to believe what I'm about to share with you, but they've done studies on it, and they don't ask you how you felt about your vacation or whatever. They actually just secretly gave you a monitor, and you had to check in how you're feeling every hour, moment to moment, and the times varied. And what they found across the board, people are happier at work than they are on vacation. It's like, what? They're happier during the work week than they are on the weekends. And you're saying, what? That doesn't make any sense. Nobody would admit to that. But really what's happening is people are getting into a state, they call it a flow state, where they're focused on achieving a result. They're immersed in it. And it's just so important to be able to have that. And so you're an entrepreneur. It's really exciting to be able to choose and have some choice on what it is you're involving yourself in. But it's something that we all need. And whether it's, like I said, whether you're an employee, whether you're an entrepreneur, people have a tendency to need that. And so creating that and thinking that and building that in your vision of financial freedom, that's why we like financial freedom versus retirement. I don't think it's a great idea for you to stop working, but I think it's a great idea for you to have more choice in what you're pursuing.